Hey, you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? Well, praise the Lord. You may notice that we have a few more people today that are attending the drive-in service, and that's great, and that's just fine, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But did you come ready for the Word of God here today? Did you come ready to receive and get your help? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I got to greet everybody outside in the drive-in, and now I get to see your faces on the inside. It's so good to see you. See a couple of new faces with us. Again, we just welcome you. We're just so honored to have you here today. Again, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. And like I said, the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. If you're looking for a Bible teaching church, we know a good one right here. Amen. And we're just so honored to have you. Well, turn with me in your Bibles this morning. Go to two places. Go to Mark chapter 14, and you want to put a marker there. Actually, we'll start there. Mark chapter 14, and then go on over to Romans chapter 1. And hold your place there, because we are going to go over there as well in just a few moments. But folks, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the message here today, there's a few comments that I just wanted to share with all that's going on, you know, regarding COVID-19 in our community. I just wanted to share some comments. Of course, I've been contacted a lot over the last few weeks, and I just want to share some of these comments. And of course, you're going to notice I'm going to be reading off my notes a little bit more than I usually do. And the purpose for that is to keep me on track, all right? Also to save us some time. I know that if I just start sharing, I might go a little bit longer. I know that might happen around here every once in a while. And so if you see me reading, this is because I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to get us off track, and I don't want to spend more time with this. And I'll be honest with you, I really hate the idea that I've got to talk about, you know, the coronavirus even more in church. I know we're hearing it on the news nonstop. You know, things are going on, and I believe we could all agree that we just want to get past this thing. We would be fine and dandy if we never had to hear about it ever again. But as church leadership, I have the responsibility, you know, to lead and to make sure that we address things with the church family. Amen. And we're starting off today. In every family, you got to do some house cleaning every once in a while. You got to, you know, take care of some business and so on. And so that's what we're going to do for the first few moments. And then we're going to jump into the Word. And actually, we're going to segue right into the message. And we'll get to these scriptures here in just a few moments. But as many of you already know, the number of COVID cases in our community is on the rise. And of course, there's been talk about some new state restrictions. You know, in Pennsylvania, they're going to another shutdown. That shutdown in Pennsylvania does not include churches, so it does not affect our Erie Church. Our governor here in New York State has talked about some things. There hasn't been any formal decisions. But as of right now, churches are permitted to be open. Praise the Lord. But just because we're allowed to be open, of course, we're going to stay open no matter what. When we say allowed to be open, our mandate to worship comes from God and not the government, just so we make that clear. But that does not mean that we can't do a few simple things here at the church to protect our church family. Folks, just a couple of things to remember. There is a lot of differing opinions when it comes to COVID-19. Everybody is in a different situation. People that are younger will think differently than people that are older, or people in different backgrounds, different situations, whatever it may be. And folks, we have to remember that we are commanded to love one another even as Christ loved the church. And so just because somebody might have a different opinion than you, that does not give any of us the right to criticize somebody because they might see things a little differently. But just know this, because there is such a wide difference in opinions when it comes to COVID, there is a lot of consciences, a lot of people in their conscience that are very tender or that have a lot of questions. And my responsibility as a pastor is to make sure that we take care of everybody. All right? The shepherd will leave the 99 to go find the one that is hurting. And so I need your help in doing that, all right? We need to make sure that we are taking care of all of our people, and there's just some very small, simple things, much of which we are already doing at the church to help protect our church family. Amen. Over the last couple weeks, more and more, I have been contacted by people in the church who are saying that they were either directly or indirectly exposed to somebody who had or has the virus, all right? They say that they've been exposed through their jobs, through extended family members who do not attend the church, local businesses, you know, people at their schools, and even their own children, all right? And I want to first begin by commending this church in a big, big way. Every person that I am aware of that has said that they have come into contact with somebody who may have had the virus or somebody else who may have had contact with somebody else, everyone that I'm aware of have quarantined or stayed home from church or have remained in their vehicles during our drive-in service. You in this church, for the best of my knowledge, are being completely responsible, and I am extremely grateful for that. Praise the Lord. People are being smart. People are staying out in their vehicles if they feel like they came into contact, whether at their place of employment or whatever, and I appreciate that. Please continue to do so. Folks, if you feel like you came into contact with somebody, you know, that is a good time for you to either stay at home or, you know, that's what we have the drive-in service for. You know, if you feel like you came into contact with somebody, obviously, we know this, that not every person who comes into contact, you know, with somebody with the virus, it doesn't mean you automatically get it. And so the drive-in service is a great way to remain in your vehicles. It keeps you safe. It keeps everybody else safe. And it allows you to attend church and still put forth the effort to show your faithfulness to the Lord. All right? And so people have been careful. Please keep being responsible. If you or somebody in your family is demonstrating any kind of symptoms, again, be responsible. Don't come in the sanctuary. Remain in your vehicles or stay home. All right? And so far, people are doing that, and we certainly appreciate that very much. No matter how mild the symptoms might seem to be, you know, don't just pass it off. Say, well, my goodness, I just had the sniffles, or, you know, I had a little, you know, cough for a day and a half or whatever. Hey, take a weekend. That's why we're only doing one service a week, all right? Because during the week, it gives you plenty of time to discover that and to sit out that next coming Sunday. Drive-in service is perfect for that. And so again, I'm just very thrilled at how responsible people have been. As the number of cases of COVID rise in our community, the likelihood of we or people we know being exposed to it are only going to increase. And I know people don't want to hear that. And I know there's some people, they'll say, oh, that's not faith, Pastor Tim, to say that, you know, that more and more people will be exposed and things to it. Well, it's a fact. It is absolutely going to happen. And I don't mean just here at Family Church. I just mean for people in general in our community, you know, as this thing, you know, goes through the community, there's going to be more and more people that will be exposed to it. And the reason being is that people are living their lives, all right? People are going to grocery stores. People are going to Walmart, all right? People are going to, you know, the big stores. Of course, they're gathering with their families. Some kids are in school, all right? People are going through their lives. But folks, remember this, that before COVID, there were still germs on the earth. And when COVID is gone, there will still be germs on the earth. There will always be risks in this life. That is why we preach the Word of God, one, to honor Him, but also to walk in His protection. Amen? And, you know, before COVID, there was flu viruses, there was things. And let's face it, let the truth be known that all of us come into contact with illnesses or viruses on a daily basis. All right? The good news is that we have remained very careful here at the church. We, of course, have heightened sanitation. We aren't doing our youth groups, our Sunday school. We have canceled our midweek service. We're only here for Sunday morning for a short period of time, all right? Praise the Lord, and so glory to God. Here at Family Church, between the two churches that I pastor, I am only aware of anyone from four different families, three in Jamestown, one in Erie, that have ever tested positive for COVID-19, and this includes all the time since this COVID situation started way back early this year. And to be clear, I just found out about any of it this past week. The good news is that all of them are just fine and none of them contracted it here at Family Church. In each case, they contracted it from an extended family member or their place of employment, which includes working with computers, landscaping, and the healthcare industry. And the good news is that they knew ahead of time that they were exposed and they stayed out of church. To my knowledge, at this moment, nobody has ever showed up at Family Church and gone home with COVID. All right, praise the Lord for that. We are grateful. One person here in Jamestown may have had COVID when entering the building, but again, the church was spared because this person had very minimal contact with anybody and there is no evidence of spread. Remember, not everyone who has the sniffles has COVID. Now, any, you know, guess what? There is still cold viruses out there. There are still flu viruses out there. There is still other things taking place. Even though, isn't it amazing that all of a sudden the flu season is way down this year? All of a sudden the cold virus is way down this year. All right. Just something to take note of. All right. Praise the Lord. Just because someone stayed home or stayed in their vehicle to be saved doesn't mean that they have COVID. You do realize that the numbers that I just spoke of represent less than 1/3 of 1% of everybody that we minister to, and that represents over 9 months of time. All right, and so we have zero evidence of any spread or any issues here because people are doing the right thing. All right, praise the Lord. So keep being cautious. Keep being responsible, stay out of service, or stay in your vehicle if you need to, all right? So why am I saying all this? Am I saying this to scare you about being in church? No, absolutely not, just the opposite, all right? Praise the Lord. It is my responsibility to always remain transparent here at this church. I have been pastoring for 15 years, and I have always been completely transparent with this church through the biggest challenges that we've ever had here at FC. I will always be that way. I will never change that. And as soon as I know something, you're going to know something. Again, any of these things that we're talking about are things that I just directly found out through the course of conversations just this past week. I am saying all of this also to remind you that we have precautions in place here at the church. This is why we have the drive-in service. If you feel that you have more peace remaining in your vehicle, all right, please remain in your vehicle and attend the drive-in service. Also, if you are one that comes into the building, please know this. Don't criticize those that decide to remain in their vehicles. You have no more faith than they do, all right? You are not a better Christian than they are. Or if somebody decides to wear a mask, if you in your conscience feel that it would be better for you to enter this building with a mask on, you are always encouraged to do so, all right? Follow the leading of the Lord and don't criticize those that decide to wear a mask. I have heard people say, Christians say stuff like, oh, I can't believe, you know, wearing a mask is just downright unpatriotic and all this stuff. Lay off that nonsense. You have no idea how the Lord is leading somebody else. The Lord may be leading them to stay in their vehicle. The Lord may be leading them to wear a mask. All right, and if you influence them to do something to sear their conscience, you or somebody else could get hurt. So let's never criticize people for the decisions they have to make to protect themselves, all right? Folks, am I sounding an alarm? No, I'm actually here to put the alarm down, because here is my word to everybody that is listening, whether inside the building or outside in the drive-in service or watching by live stream. Here is my word to you. Obey God. Keep New Testament worship holy and sacred within your life. Attend church, but attend church in the way that you have peace. Make sure you don't get caught between two fears. You know, we can't allow the fear of the virus to inspire us to stop worshiping God. And then I've heard people say over the last couple weeks that, you know, they want to attend church, they want to be in the building, but they'd prefer to wear a mask or whatever, or they would prefer to attend the drive-in, but they're scared of what people might think of them, that their faith might not be as strong as somebody else. Listen, folks, you cannot allow that fear to cascade down and drive you out of your local church. You know what I mean? First of all, we've all seen people wearing masks by now. This thing's been going on for, what, 9 months or whatever it's been going on for? We see people all over the place wearing masks. So nobody here is going to be shocked if you wear a mask to church. All right? Also, the drive-in service has been going on here in Jamestown since March 29th. We have never taken it away. You have always had an option to safely attend church no matter what, and nobody is going to criticize you. There's more people in the drive-in today, and you know what? I'm just as glad to see them outside as I am to see you on the inside. Amen? So if you feel that need, please, I will still be out there to greet you. We will still see each other face-to-face. You know, how be it through a car window or whatever, all right? This is me not telling you to attend the drive-in service. I'm making the point, if that is how you feel led, feel free. Because my responsibility as a pastor is to guard the sacredness of biblical New Testament worship, okay? Biblical New Testament worship, and my responsibility is to protect all of you. And I believe that we can guard the sacredness of worship and still protect the people. Amen. That's what we've done. That's what we're going to continue to do. We're going to keep preaching the word. We're going to keep worshiping God. We're going to keep praising. We're going to be led. And folks, we're going to get to the other side of this stuff. Amen. And the glorious, wonderful thing is that God's protective hand has been all over this church, and all the family churches, also our Erie church, and we're just so grateful for that. Amen, amen. Everyone say commercial over. I tell you what, folks, go ahead and don't let the pressures of this time of year. I'll tell you what, can I just let you in on something? I say this every single year. I do not want to come across as a grouch or Mr. Scrooge, you know. But as a pastor, the month of December leading up to Christmas is my least favorite time of the year. You know the Christmas song, it's the most wonderful. I think, stop it, you're lying. No, it's not. You know, and the only reason I say that is because I see so much pressure on people. Financial pressure, family pressure, people trying to keep everyone happy. And now you take a COVID pandemic and you place it on top of all that. People are feeling the pressure. You know, remember what the Word of God says in Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice always. Let me say again, rejoice. Okay? So folks, if you don't feel like it, turn on the rejoicer right now. Amen. Are you ready to rejoice at the word here today? All right, go with me to Mark chapter 14. Today I'm going to call this message, Don't Miss Your Impartation. Don't miss your impartation. Folks, we cannot allow fear to drive us away from our local church. Of course, our local church can do a couple of simple things. And again, we've been doing that. And let me just give you an idea of things that are going to be a little bit different just for the next few weeks here at the church. And they're really not any different too much from what we're doing right now. First of all, when you come in through the front door, if you attend in the sanctuary, you know, usually you're used to all of our ushers there. I mean, and there's probably, you know, a few greeters, several people that are there because we believe in having a friendly church, all right? How many of you believe you should be welcome with a smile when you attend church, all right? But we've had some people express some concerns that that just seems to add to the amount of contact and things at the church. So when you come in through the front door, you'll notice our ushers will be there, but they're just going to give you your space. There will be someone there to open the door for you, but you're not going to be assaulted by a half a dozen people welcoming you. We're going to put all the friendliness and kindness away for a few weeks. All right, because some folks are like, I want to come in, but I just don't want to have to shake 10 people's hands, you know, the moment I come in. All right, we understand that, okay? And so that's something small we're going to do. Also, something we're going to do, and you are going to cheer, and this is going to really ramp up the rest of the service. If you've noticed over the last several weeks, I have grown back into a full-length sermon. Has anybody noticed that around here? Be honest. You can be honest. I've noticed it myself. My goal from the beginning of the COVID, you know, situation was to keep service times to an hour. We've been more like an hour and a half. And starting today, woo, everyone try to keep your enthusiasm to a minimum, right? I'm going to start peeling us back towards that 1 hour, all right? So when you come in, service will be as close to 1 hour as within my ability. Okay, we're not talking about laser precision here, folks. We're talking horseshoes and hand grenades. We're going to get as close as we possibly can. All right, I said this in Erie last night, and it was like an hour and 15 minutes, all right? I'm going to do my best, but we're still here to hear the word of God. Nothing wrong with the minister trying to be a little bit more efficient, but please know we're not doing these things to be seeker sensitive. We're doing these things to just small things we can do to limit exposure here at the church. Amen? Amen. Folks, are you with me? Are you ready to help? And let's do our part. Praise the Lord. We're talking about don't miss your impartation. See, if we're not careful, we won't allow these things to divide us from our local church and from our local pastor, which is God's design to strengthen and help our lives. Folks, if we allow the fear of COVID or the fear of what people think of us because we're sitting in our car wearing a mask or something like that, all of a sudden we think, well, I don't want them to think that I don't have faith, so I'm not going to attend church anymore. I'll tell you, if you get separated from your pastor, if you get separated from your local church, mark my words, that will hurt your life far more in the long run than any virus could ever do to your life. We have to understand that just because there is something in the land that is risky or potentially dangerous, you know, and that is obviously a relative term. You know, if just because there's something in the world that is happening does not mean that we forsake the design and the instruction of God. Actually, just the opposite. We need our help more than ever right now. Praise the Lord. God has instructed us to be in a local church under the care of a local pastor because there is things that we need to get for future events, things that are happening in the world and in our lives. Go to Mark chapter 14 and look what Jesus said over here in verse 27. Praise the Lord. This is, of course, the night before Jesus' crucifixion. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And of course, they right now are all standing, you know, faithful with the Lord, and they are all, you know, saying that they will never leave him or forsake him. And they just get done singing a hymn, and they're worshiping on the Mount of Olives and so on. And look at verse 27. It says, "And Jesus said to them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written," and now this is what I want you to pay attention to, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." All right. Here's the first thing that you need to see in the word here today is the Ooh, see, the power is falling. The power is falling on this verse. Glory to God. See, you might have think that that was a speaker feedback, and the sound guy might think it's speaker feedback, but what that really was an angelic halo that was coming to bless. You know, there would be ministers out there that would really say ridiculous things like that. But notice the principle of the shepherd. Jesus says, if the shepherd is smote, the sheep will be scattered. Notice this dynamic in the relationship between shepherd. The word shepherd means pastor. Literally translated means pastor. And if the sheep are separated from the pastor, notice it says the sheep are the ones that are scattered. If you study that word scattered in the original Greek, it literally means to be brought down to waste. Means to be wasted in life. And I don't mean from the slang term with alcohol or something like that. It means to be brought down into destruction or to be laid waste, you know. So first thing that you need to notice that there is a principle that God has designed between the pastor and the sheep. And the devil would love nothing more than to divide us from our pastor. Folks, please know this. I'm not preaching this about myself personally. I'm not talking about the pastor, Tim Stallman. You know, I too have a pastor. This principle applies to me, all right? And the devil would love nothing more than for me to be divided from my pastor. And this is not just a family church thing. This is something that the virus is trying to accomplish. Satan is using this virus to try to separate the sheep from their shepherd. Because as soon as the sheep are out there away from the protection of the shepherd, they are vulnerable to the wolves. My responsibility is to keep the spiritual wolves away from your life. Amen. And we know that believers have been on attacked on so many different levels during this pandemic. Number one was fear in the mental realm. This fear and this attack on the mind has been so intense on believers over the last several months. Two, there's been an attack on people's jobs and finances. All right. Three, there's been political upheaval, political preferences, and political mayhem. And many believers are taking the election personal and getting into their emotions in a negative way. And fourth, now we see this new level of attack that Satan is using the virus for is to attack worship and to bring church division, trying to divide the sheep from their local church. But we see the principle in the word that if the sheep are divided, they will be scattered or they will be vulnerable or laid to waste. Hey, can you bring up another verse for us? We won't need to turn there. Can you bring up Matthew 9:36? I wasn't planning on going there. This came up last night as well. Look what Jesus said when he was ministering to the multitudes. It says that Jesus saw the multitudes of people. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. All right. Like sheep without a pastor, okay? Can you bring this up in the Amplified for us? Look what happens if we become sheep without a pastor or without a local church, all right? When Jesus saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered, harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Notice what happens if Satan succeeds to deliver fear that divides us from our local pastor, all right? We will be helpless, dejected, distressed, and harassed. That is not just true here at Family Church. That is true with any church that somebody is called to be connected to that pastor. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, where is that verse actually? I believe that might, that's right, or is it verse 19? Right in that section, it says, the Lord sets the members in the body of Christ as it pleases him. He chooses, the Lord has a specific place, a local church, a local pastor that he sets us in like body parts in the human body, all right? It's, you know, it's the same old illustration, My body can live without my pinky, but my pinky cannot live without my body. All right? In the same way, my church can live without me. My pastor can live without me, but I can't live without my local church. You know, I need that connection because this is God's design to bring life to our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be harassed, distressed, and dejected like someone without a shepherd. I need a shepherd in my life. Of course, Jesus being the chief shepherd, but then he gave us gifts such as pastors and teachers and the rest, all right, to keep us from being described this way. I don't want to be distressed and harassed and helpless. I don't want to be brought down to waste. And so we have to understand Satan knows this principle more than Christians know it. He knows I've got to get them away. The wolves have got to get you away from the shepherd, all right, if he's going to be able to attack your life and to bring harm to you, all right? Today, I'm going to give you three things we get from our local pastor, all right? And again, I'm not preaching this about myself personally. This is not about the person. It could be a man or a woman that can stand in the office of pastor, all right? And so it's not about me personally. This is true in every church if it's a God-ordained church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 1. I told you to hold your place there. Romans chapter 1, three things that we get from our local pastor, and we're going to get all of this just right here in this verse. Look at Romans 1:11. Paul, look what he says to the church at Rome. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." There is this principle. Number one thing we get from our local pastor is impartation. Impartation. And I'm going to give you a definition for that in just a moment. But notice this principle that we've got to be able to be with our minister or be with our pastor. Do you see that? See, the modern day church has it backwards. The modern day church thinks as long as we can see our pastor, as long as we see him on a TV screen or see him on a computer screen, or if we just, you know, see them on the, you know, cover of their book or something like that, you know, then everything will be just fine. Today in the modern church, we're trying to make pastors like celebrities. You know, their face is plastered all over their material. I mean, they're on the cover of their books. It is their face on the website. It's all this and that. Folks, we're not here trying to sell my face. Because if we were, we know it wouldn't sell. But we don't want to promote the man or the woman that is standing in that position. We're not here to make somebody famous. We're here to make the Lord Jesus Christ famous. And I'm telling you, and I know I'm not trying to be critical because every minister does it, but I'm sorry, I'm not going that way. I'm not putting my face on stuff. I'm not using my name as a brand and all that stuff. That's what the world does. I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. But Pat, I'm not criticizing any other ministry, but I'm not here to make, you know, my face something or to be seen. We're here to make the Lord Jesus Christ seen. Amen. Because the modern day church is all about, if I could just see that pastor, but actually that's backwards. The truth of the word is that can the pastor see you? It's the pastor seeing your face is that where the power begins, not you seeing the pastor's face. All right. Yeah, I guess I do have a little like 1 square inch picture on the back of the books that I wrote. You know, that was like 11 years and 25 pounds ago. Woo! I had one guy come up to me one time. He said, "Hey, Pastor Tim, I want to let you know that I read your book." He said, "You're a lot fatter now." I said, "Thanks. I know." Oh, my goodness. I saw pictures. My boys brought up their baby scrapbooks that my wife had made, you know, when they were born and maybe a few years after that. And there's all these pictures of me, you know, like 10, 11, you know, 12 years ago. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, who is that guy? I look like the guy that ate that kid. No. Oh, happens to all of us. You got to be careful. All right. Praise the Lord. "For I long to see you." Notice the pastor has got to be able to see you. You know, not you just seeing the pastor, just having an online church. Folks, I'm telling you, this is why we've got to keep the local church going. All right. Because here's the definition of impartation. Impartation means to communicate strength to your spirit through the use of words. To communicate strength to your spirit through the use of words. All right. That is what impartation is. Praise the Lord. To communicate strength into our spirit through the use of words. This is why we are here at the local church. We are here for the word's sake. There are words that are being spoken that God has anointed, that if you will receive it and mix faith with it, it will bring such strength to your life that you will not be able to recognize your life within a couple of years or less. When strength starts getting imparted to you, you're here to receive those anointed words that are being spoken. Amen? And we know that as it comes into our heart, we've got to mix it with faith. Just sitting here alone is not enough to change your life. Let me show you this. Hold your place in Romans 1. We are coming back to it. And go over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Go to Hebrews 4, 1. All right. Are you glad for the strength that gets imparted into us? Yes. Oh, and it gets even better. Just hold on. We have taken for granted just the spiritual miracle that is taking place when we hear the anointed words of God being spoken through our local pastor and our local church. Amen. We are strengthened. And here's the thing that you've got to understand about impartation. The things that you are receiving today, the strength that you are getting now, is not for where you've been, but for where you are going. There are things that are going to come up in your life that are going to test that strength, whether you were here to receive it or not. There are things that may be years in your future, but what you're receiving now is going to determine whether you make it through that or you succeed or thrive on the other side of that. You never want to underestimate the impartation now because our futures depend on it. There is stuff coming up. I am thoroughly convinced. You know, without the show of hands, can you imagine facing this pandemic without being taught what we've been taught? Without the knowledge of the word? No wonder why everybody's freaking out. You know why we're not? Because we know something they don't. Amen? Because there was something imparted to us. Strength was communicated within our spirit. Glory to God. All right. But here's what you have to do with it. Go to Hebrews 4:1. It says, let us therefore fear or reverence, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Notice it's completely possible to fall short of God's promises and God's blessings. Do you see that? All right. It says, make sure you reverence, make sure you consider this, make sure you take heed, lest any of us would fall short of the promise and blessing of God. Here's why people hear the word and don't get blessed. Are you ready? Verse 2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached. How many of you are hearing the gospel today? Woo, the good news, right? We're hearing the word of God preached as well as unto them. Notice in this verse, there were two groups who both heard the same Bible message. It says, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. All right? So everyone heard the same word being preached, but one group of people, it didn't profit or strengthen their life at all. But the other group, they did profit from it because they mixed faith with it. All right? What does it mean? So when you're here hearing the word, it is your responsibility to mix faith with the word that you're hearing. Here's a couple of things that you can do to mix faith. All right? Number one, your attentiveness, your response to the word. You know, when you're sitting there, I see so many of you taking notes. It's because you want the word. You're embracing it as you know it's a matter of life and death. You're not just sitting here performing a religious duty, hoping that the minister gets done in time for you to be first in line at Panera Bread. All right. You know that when you walked in here, the words being spoken are critical to your life. And you say, I need these words. I need to revisit these words. I need to rehearse these words over and over. See, you're mixing faith with it. Here's the second way that you mix faith, by speaking the words that you received, by speaking the word of God. Come on, you know these verses, I quote them all the time. Proverbs 18:21, death in life is in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Notice you eat the fruit of the words you speak. All right, words is how we mix life or how we mix death. Are you mixing life or are you mixing death? When you're saying, oh my goodness, I'm so afraid I'm probably gonna be the one that gets it, and I know only 0.25% of everybody dies from this thing, it's probably gonna be me. See, you're mixing death. Oh my goodness, I'm so scared of what people are gonna think of me. I wanna be in church, but I just can't show up because I really wanna wear a mask and I'm scared of what people will have an opinion of me. See, that fear is now gonna separate you, now you're mixing death. All right, but when you mix faith, you know, folks, I've preached this so many times, and you know what, to be honest, a small percentage of Christians actually do this on a daily basis. Are you mixing faith for your kids? You know, are you mixing Psalm, 112? Are you mixing where it says, my seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed? You know, or Isaiah 54:13, you know, where it talks about the protection over your children, praise the Lord. Are you mixing in, scriptures concerning your finances? But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. See, what are you doing? You're mixing in the faith. As you speak it, it's mixing for you. How many of you have ever, all right, I know probably not many people, but, you know, I'll give an illustration, something I saw. This was a few years ago. I had an old boat, and my old boat had an old hole in it, all right? And I needed to mix some resin and gel coat, you know, to fix that, you know, that spot where the fiberglass had a hole in it. And so I bought this repair kit, and it comes with this couple of tubes of stuff and also a little color match thing. So once you whip it into the right color, which I totally didn't because it was supposed to just be white, but when I actually applied it, it was the color of a Band-Aid, and it made the boat look like it had a Band-Aid on it, all right? So anyway, they give you these two tubes of chemicals, and one tube by itself is just weak and runny. All right, the other tube by itself is just syrupy and does nothing by itself. But the moment you mix the two together, you've got 10 or 15 minutes to get that thing on there because it is going to harden and it's going to become rock strong and it's going to keep all water out of that boat. See, that's what happens when you start mixing faith with the words that you get in your local church. Something starts to build on the inside of you, something with strength. Something that can withstand the beating of the world. Amen. Something that can stand. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, when the rains fell, when the winds blew, when the floods beat upon that house. Remember? Jesus said there was two men, one built upon the rock, one built upon the sand, and the same floods and winds hit both houses. Folks, we're gonna get beat upon in this life. Meaning there's going to be attacks. There's going to be challenges, all right? But it's not a matter of did you prevent the attack. The matter is, did you build correctly on the rock when you had a chance to hear the word of God? See, this is why this thing is not gonna topple you. This is why the pressures from within are not gonna crumble you, all right? Because you're built upon the word of God. Impartation. Glory to God. These things are coming into us now to get us through a hard place later. Do not allow yourself to be separated from your local church. And if you're not called to be here at this church, if you have a pastor somewhere else, be there. This is not Family Church's idea. This is the Bible's idea. Amen. If you're not mixing faith means I'm going to hear the word and I'm going to make changes if I have to. I'm going to make changes. I'm going to do something different. Oh, I'm convicted. I'm going to change. That's mixing faith. Speaking these words, speaking these scriptures is mixing faith, all right? Go back to Romans 1 in verse 11. Pastor, we're down to just a few minutes. I know, but remember, we're playing horseshoes and hand grenades here today. I don't have a precision scalpel with the clock. All right, we're just saying we've allowed things maybe to go a little bit longer. We can dial it back a little bit. All right, praise the Lord. Also, too, you know, we know that if you are attending in the drive-in service and you have little kids, you know, it also gets really challenging, you know, in the back seat of that vehicle when toddlers start to bounce around like popcorn, you know. Praise the Lord. All right, Romans 1:11, for I long to see your face, that spiritual strength may be communicated into your spirit, and that I may give unto you some spiritual gift. All right. The term spiritual gift, are you ready for this? Literally translated means supernatural favor. All right. Number one thing we get from our local pastor is impartation. The second thing we get from our local pastor is supernatural favor. Glory to God. The word supernatural favor, it also means an endowment of grace. You know what grace is? Grace is like a Teflon coating from God. Things that try to stick to you, it's a lot harder for it to stick to you. Doesn't mean that everything feels great in life. It just means there's a protective coating. Amen. It means an endowment of grace. I like this definition. It means to receive ability to serve the church. Yes. I don't know about you, but I want supernatural favor to serve the church. I know this, that as God called me to serve the church, I would have never been able to be raised up to do so if I didn't first have a pastor. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It also means this, the grace of knowledge and understanding. And here's one of my favorite definitions. It means the tools to build something great, something that God respects. See, that's what's happening. We're being equipped as we sit under our local pastor. Amen? We're being equipped. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Supernatural favor, it means to receive something that you could not have gotten on your own. All right? Supernatural favor, meaning things will tend to work out in your favor more than they would have alone. Glory to God. And it doesn't come from the man personally. It comes from the office of the pastor. You understand there's a difference. There's an office. Praise the Lord. And in that office is something to be strengthened, you know, to strengthen you with. It's a supernatural favor to get on your life. Amen. Glory to God to lift you higher and higher, to make you more and more stable. Hallelujah. So number one, impartation. Two, supernatural favor. And three, it says, to the end that you may be established. Everyone say established. I'm still trying to get you going here today. Folks, like we've been saying over the week, stop letting COVID steal your joy. You know, I had to take care of some, you know, house cleaning business here today, but in the weeks moving forward, unless it's absolutely necessary, I do not plan on talking about it. We come here to church to talk about the word. The only reason is that so you always know that the leadership in this church will always be transparent with you. You can ask any question you want at any time. I will answer it directly. You might not like my answer, but I will answer it. Praise the Lord. All right. And here's the good news, folks. Just so you know, myself, the pastors, you know, no one that we're aware of, you know, in our pastoral leadership or anything has been exposed to the virus or something like that. So just so you know that. All right, praise the Lord. So stop allowing those things to knock on your brain and just let them run amok in your mind. All right, Praise the Lord. The third thing that we get from our local church is to be established. All right? The word established means to be set fast, or literally to be written in stone. All right? The picture I get in my mind, you remember the old story? What was it? King Arthur. Remember, and the sword and the stone. Remember the sword and the stone, and remember, I just remember seeing that cartoon as a kid. I haven't seen that in decades. I have no idea. But I just remember, you know, whoever got the sword out of the stone would be the chosen king, and all the men of the villages would come out, and they'd try to steal that sword and try to pull it out of the stone. But no matter what, it was set fast in that rock, and nobody could steal it. Nobody could break it, all right? No one could lose it. That's what it means when something is set fast, all right? We become established so things in our lives are not easily lost or stolen. See, when we have a covering of a local church, the devil just can't come in and just peel things out of your life. Just like when there's a shepherd, a wolf cannot come out of the dark and just steal the sheep, right? Oh my goodness, speaking of wolves coming out of the dark, I had an interesting experience last night. This is not related to the sermon, but I just think I'll tell the story anyway. So I got home from preaching in Erie last night, and I had left a garbage can out in front of my garage, and I was just going to move it up into my shop and get it out of the way. And of course, it was dark. It was about 9:30 last night. I get out of my truck, and of course, I'm wearing a suit and everything, and I'm just walking up to my shop, and next to my shop, there's, woods, a woods line, like right there. I mean, literally less than 20 feet away, and there's no lights in those woods, and it's just real dark, okay? And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see something bust out of the woods, and I look over, and it is this extremely aggressive acting German Shepherd. Just comes busting out of the woods. I mean, my mind in 1 second went to, I'm being attacked by a bear. I'm being attacked by coyotes. You know, just boom, boom. And I mean, I take that garbage can, and I just grab that thing up, and I'm just like, boom, you know. You know, and I'm like, what is going on? And there was two of them. And the one was acting real playful and happy, and the other one was like Rin Tin Tin going after a perpetrator. I was like, oh my heaven. Oh, and I realized within a few seconds it was our new neighbor's dogs. And I like doggies, okay? But I have to admit, when that thing jumped out of the woods, and then after a second, I'm just like, hey, boy, all right. As I'm putting a garbage can, and he's like, I'm just like, all right, all right. And I'm moseying back towards my truck where I got a gun. Not with me today, but you understand. I was like, don't make me break this out on you, dog. And I was like, ah. Then also I was like, happy. And they went around, and we became friends, and they were following me around. And I realized it was my neighbor's dog. And, of course, I would never hurt an animal that belongs to somebody else, you understand. And so, you know, but it was a really, really, for a few seconds there, I mean, this thing just came out of the dark. You know, it was like, my heart and everything, my emotions acted like, it might as well have been a lion, you know? And then I realized I put the garbage can down, and hey, doggies, I know who you are. And they remembered me when I was over there and stuff. And it was fine and good and dandy. But that illustration now comes to me as I said that. See, you don't need the wolves coming out of the dark and snatching the sheep. See, if there's no shepherd, that's what happens. All right, when we're left unprotected without the covering of our local church, we are vulnerable. We are taking the garbage can up to the shop in the dark without our pastor. Oh, praise the Lord. Where do these illustrations come from? Well, praise the Lord. All right, number one, impartation. Two, supernatural favor. And three, we're established, set in stone. Something can't just come and carry us away, can't steal, you know, from our lives. You understand that? Can't just up and destroy you whenever it wants to. The pressure cannot pull you down. It cannot push you over. It cannot crumble you from within. I am so grateful for the impartation that I've received through the men and women of God that have taught me. They have communicated strength into my spirit, and I am well prepared for this day and hour. My mind is renewed. I am set in stone. Glory to God. I have supernatural favor. Things of this dark world aren't sticking to me. I refuse it. I meditate on the word. I'm mixing faith in what I speak. Amen. And how I approach the word. Did you get some help here today? Amen. Folks, I'll tell you what, God is good. The Lord is with us. And we might be walking through the shadow of the valley of death. You know that, right? You say, Pastor, that seems a little dramatic. Yeah, I know. I understand that. Anyhow, you can decide for yourself how dangerous this thing really is. That's your decision, all right? But in life in general, we are always walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But David said in Psalm 23, he says, I will not fear, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's like, I've got a shepherd's rod, for if that wolf jumps out of that dark place again, boom, he's going down, right? Not my neighbor's dog. I'm going to be real kind and gentle with them. They just didn't know who I was for a second, and oh, my heavens. I mean, my mind went, like, I saw this picture of, like, a dog, you know. You know, you see these cop shows and they release the dog on somebody and that German shepherd is just thrashing on a limb of a bad guy. That's the picture that entered my mind there at that second. And I had to cast that imagination down. Praise the Lord. So, folks, God is with us. Listen, we are not walking through the valley of death. We're walking through the shadow of the valley of death. The valley of death could try to kill you, but shadows can't kill you. You're just walking through the shadows of it. We're not living here. We're not setting up a home here forever. We're going to get through this thing. We're going to the other side of it. All right. Amen. And we cannot allow it to divide us from worship, from our local church, from our local pastor. We cannot be divided from the design that God made to keep our lives safe. Amen. Because I tell you what, if already all over this country, this thing is already, we talk about all the local businesses and restaurants that have had to close because of COVID, that's a sad thing because there's people's livelihoods and retirements and college funds and all these things that are attached to that stuff. That's a sad thing. But the only thing worse is that unfortunately in this land, COVID has managed to shut down thousands of local churches in our nation. Do you know that? Of course, the news isn't going to report on that. But, I mean, because, you know, a lot of, the average church in America has 75 people in it. Do you know that? That's the average size church. And praise God, when you add up all these thousands and thousands of little churches and so on, listen, God's moving in those places. We're talking country, rural churches, wherever it may be, you know. There's many of them that have not made it through this. And it's going to be a shame if, you know, that's not going to happen here. I'm just saying we cannot allow Satan to destroy worship in our nation. We cannot allow the fears to divide us from our local church. Amen? Amen. Did you get some help here today? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Father God, you are so faithful and good. Lord, your hand has protected this church. Father, you've protected our lives. Lord, you have led people with wisdom to be responsible and safe. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the people that are inside the building today. We thank you for the people that are in their vehicles, Father, today in the drive-in service. We thank you that we are all gathered in Jesus' name on this church property. And Father, we are just as excited to see people in their vehicles as we are to see them inside the building. Father, you are faithful. You are leading us. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. And still, we are preaching against the fear that is trying to take over our land. Father, we will not be afraid of the virus. Doesn't mean we can't take common sense precautions. Lord, we're not going to be afraid of what people think of us. Father, we just thank you and praise your holy name. We're not going to be pushed out of our local church, be divided and attacked in our minds against our church leadership, against the local church, whether it's this church or any other that preaches the Bible. You are faithful and good. We love you. We thank you with all of our hearts. Father, we know it's a sacred duty to preserve the New Testament worship. Father, we also realize it's a sacred duty to protect people. And Lord, we know there's a way to do both. And Father, we just love you, give you all the glory and praise. We thank you, Father, for each one that's here today. Now, with every eye closed, all heads still bowed, let me just ask you the most important question anyone will ever ask you. Whether you're in this building or watching by live stream, or you're out in the drive-in service, ask yourself this question: have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Have I personally received him as my Lord and Savior? Ask yourself, have I done what Romans 10:9 says to do? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So ask yourself, if the answer to that question is no or I don't know, then you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not this church's idea. This is God's idea. This is God's plan of salvation for the world. And if the answer is no or I don't know, then I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'm going to have you put it right back down. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not calling you down front or asking you to go talk to anybody anywhere else. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can pray to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? If you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord. Today, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know that heaven is my home. I'd like to know that my sins are washed and forgiven. If that's you, could you lift your hand? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone else? You'd say, Pastor, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. I'm going to invite all of you to pray this prayer with your heart. If you're watching by live stream, you know, you can do the same thing at home or out in your vehicles. Everyone pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Folks, just a couple of things to be reminded of, something that we're going to make sure that we continue to do.